We're turning again in our Bibles to that passage that we've read together from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And that is again to seek the help of God in prayer as we come to this portion before us. Let's pray here. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for thy precious word. As we have read this parable of the prodigal son, how it rings true in our own life, in our own understanding of the gospel. And we pray that thou would give help now in the preaching of it, that we might rejoice in the wonderful story of love and redemption that's found in this passage. May it be the joyful expression of each and every person within sound of our voice to know that joy in being the Father's Son. May each and every one here be members of God's family, by virtue of that new birth, adopted into the family of heaven, that it might give expression to our joy and to our thankfulness, when we consider all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. Help us now, we pray. We ask again for thy praise and for thy glory. Amen. Well, you will remember, you'll have noted over recent weeks, this little triplet of parables that combine together to give us a fuller understanding of the revelation of God and saving power. And we've seen the various members of the Trinity engaged in the salvation of that which was lost. In the story of the lost sheep, we have a record or a note of the sacrifice of the good shepherd who would give his life for the sheep. In the searching for the lost coin, we've seen the searching power of the Spirit of God as he brings to bear upon that lost coin the light of the gospel. And now in this parable of the lost son, we want to consider this afternoon the receptive heart of the Father towards the returning prodigal. And as we look upon the story, we see a young man with many problems in his life. We see his selfish departure from the Father, that it has not brought him the lasting joy that he had anticipated. He thought that he was going to have a lifetime of pleasure and fun in his sinful pursuits, but it didn't last. And I'm sure over the years you've heard many sermons on the prodigal son that have went into detail about the waywardness of this boy. That's not my intention to do that this afternoon, but I do draw your attention to the fact that he finds himself now destitute and hungry, and chastened over his sin. But more importantly, we find him repentant. You read in the scriptures that he came to himself. We would say in Ulster that he caught himself on. He realized just how foolish he had been, and how he is determined to return to the Father's house. Now, most certainly, there were many doubts and many fears concerning the future, and there were regrets concerning his past, and he has found out most certainly that what a person sows, that they shall also reap. But I don't want to speak particularly about the young man this afternoon. I want us to consider the reception that the young man received when he arrived home. And in particular, I draw your attention towards verse 20. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And this afternoon, I want us to consider the kisses of the Father. If you have a margin in your Bible, You'll notice that it says concerning that last expression in verse 20 of how the Father kissed him, your marginal reading may read something like this, that he kissed him much. And the idea is that he kissed him repeatedly. He kissed him and he kissed him again and again and again. There is the picture of an overflowing love from the Father toward his returning son. Before the prodigal son received these kisses, he said to himself in the far country, I will arise and go to my father. He resolves to return home, but he does more than just resolve to do it. He arose and came to his father. Of more value than all of our resolutions is a little single grain of practice. The resolve to return home was good, but actually arising and going is much better. And it's only when this wandering boy actually begins to take his footsteps ever closer homeward and carry out that good resolve that he draws near to the blessing of the kisses of the Father. Maybe some have long been saying, I ought to repent and turn to God. Stop resolving and start doing. Start the practice. Long before the kisses of love were given to this young man, he was on his way to the Father. You know, but I don't believe he would have reached him unless the Father had come and met him along the way. If you come a little way with God, you'll find that we are yet a great way off when the Father runs to meet us. I'm not sure how this prodigal returned home, but I can picture him with downcast eyes and a heavy heart. And so burdened is he that he can barely lift his head upward. But his Father saw him, and the eyes of mercy were quicker than the eyes of repentance. God yet sees him a great way off. I don't imagine that he traveled very fast. Each step was a trial. He plodded home. But when the Father sees him, he runs to greet him. He's resolved to come home, but he's half afraid. And yet the Father runs. It has well been said that slow are the steps of repentance, but swift are the feet of forgiveness. While he limps home, God runs to meet him. And the kisses that fell upon him were kisses in a hurry. The story is narrated in such a way that it causes us to sense the haste of the Father. He can't wait to meet him. He runs to greet him. He falls on his neck and he kisses him and kisses him. He kissed him eagerly. He doesn't delay for a moment. Though he finds himself out of breath, he is not out of love for his son. He fell on his neck and kissed him much. There stands the son, ready to confess his sin. He has it all planned, what he's going to say, how he's going to say it. Before he gets a word out of his mouth, the Father has kissed him and kissed him again. Oh, God is more willing to forgive than we are to repent. The son who was willing to use his lips for confession found that his father was willing to use his lips for kissing. Oh, what a contrast between the two. The son scarcely dares even think of embracing his father. He is determined he'll come back and he'll humble himself and he'll pray that his father might make him as one of the hired servants. yet his father falls on his neck and kisses. What condescension of we see in the picture before us of God towards penitent sinners. He seems to stoop from the throne of glory and fall upon the neck of the repentant sinner. We read in verse 20 that his father saw him. You know, there's a great deal in that little word, saw. The father saw who it was. And they saw where he had come from. And they saw the filth that was upon his hands and his feet and his face. And they saw the rags that he was dressed in. And they saw the penitent look upon him. He saw what he had been. And they saw what he was now. But he also saw what he soon would be. The Father saw him. God has a way of seeing us that you and I just can't quite understand. Scriptures tell us of how man looks upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. God sees right through us. He sees through our excuses. The Bible tells us that we are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. He sees our past, our present, our future. He saw the Son and had compassion. When the young man was still a great way off, his father saw him. And it wasn't with icy eyes that he looked upon his returning son. It was with eyes filled with love. He had compassion on him. There's no anger in his heart towards his wayward son. He has got nothing but pity for his poor boy in such a wretched condition. Yes, it's true, the fault is all his own, but that's not what comes before the Father's mind. It was the state he was in, his poverty, his degradation, his drawn face so pale with hunger. That's what touched the Father. We have brought many troubles on ourselves. And yet God is filled with compassion toward us. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions they fail not. And being filled with compassion, the Father ran. Oh, God is slow to anger, but He is quick to bless. He is running to show His love to His penitent prodigal. He has been preparing for this day. He has been preparing for His return. And He comes to kiss. The story had been about you and I, we would not be surprised to read that he took a stick and beat him, scolded him, chastened him. But he fell on his neck and kissed him. What do these kisses mean? Let me suggest that this much kissing means much love. The Lord never gives an expression of love without feeling it in His infinite heart. These kisses are an expression of God's love. God will never give a Judas kiss. He'll never betray those whom He embraces. There's no hypocrisy here. God never kisses those for whom He has no love. About how God loves sinners, those that repent and come to Him, how quickly we learn how much the Lord loves us. There's no measuring of His love. He's loved us from before the foundation of the world. He shall love us until time shall be no more. How great, how pure, how unchangeable is the love of God toward us. How immeasurable the love of God toward sinners who come to Him. Much kissing means much love. Sometimes as God's people we fail to appreciate the greatness of God's love toward us. There will be times when the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And we know what it is to be loved by God, to be almost too happy to express it. This much kissing means much love. This poor prodigal, if he had never realized it before, he realizes it now. My Father loves me. How often it is the case that that first moment when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith, that the joy of God's salvation becomes so real. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said concerning his own conversion, he says, I could not have believed that a man could be so happy, that after having been burdened for so long and so terribly cast down, I did look on Jesus on the cross and the crushing load was immediately gone. And the heart which before could only sigh and cry because of the reason of its burden began to leap and dance and sing for joy. I had found in Christ all that I wanted and rested in the love of God at once. If he'd never realized it before, this young prodigal realizes it now. My Father loves me. Oh, that's true of every child of God. The Father's kisses mean much love. They mean something more. Not just much love, but much forgiveness. Oh, he had so many sins to confess. And he has planned all that he's going to say to his Father. But before he has even an opportunity to open his mouth, his Father has kissed him and has forgiven him. Before he even expresses the words of his confession, the Father has forgiven. Oh, to think that the Lord Jesus Christ would wash and cleanse me from my sin with his own precious blood. What makes us feel our sin all the more keenly and the desire to confess it all the more humbly before God. The Father kissing him is a kiss of forgiveness. And yet, even after the kiss, the young man went on to give his confession. Already received with love by his Father, the kiss being an expression of forgiveness, he goes on to repent. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Do not hesitate to acknowledge your sin before God, even when you know that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you your sin already. Child of God, the moment that you believe, God forgive you your sin. Sins of the past, sins of the present, sins of the future. He has wiped the slate clean. They will never be remembered again. He has forgiven you. And yet we are told that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God has forgiven them, but that doesn't mean that we ought not to repent of them and confess them. And as the Father kisses him, it's as if it seems to say, Son, there's no soreness left. I've not only forgiven you, but I have forgotten. It's all gone. I will not accuse you of it anymore. I could never love you any the less. I'll never treat you as though you are unworthy and untrustworthy. The kisses mean forgiveness. Much love. Much forgiveness. These are kisses that speak of restoration. The young man's desire was that he would plead with his father, "Make me as one of thy hired servants." He has resolved to make this his request, but the kisses stopped him. The kiss tells him he is owned of the father. The father falls upon his neck and kisses him and says, "My son, my son, my son. You're my boy. And despite all that you have done, you still belong to me. In spite of how far you have gone in sin and folly, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." In this parable, the Lord Jesus would have us to know that though we are ruined and guilty sinners, God will own us. As we come confessing our sin, He will restore us. The Father takes this wandering son, but He doesn't number him amongst His servants upon His return. He is to be numbered amongst His children. He's in the Father's house and He is received with many kisses. And before He realizes, the son's robe is cast upon him. The family ring is upon his finger. The children's shoes are on his feet. It's no longer the swine's food that he's eating, but the children's bread. Oh, when we return to God, though we look so foul and so vile and more defiled than we could ever imagine, and the Father kisses us, He says, my child, all these kisses mean a restoration to sonship. These kisses are an expression of the joy of the Father. His heart is overflowing with gladness. He cannot hold back or restrain His delight. He kisses Him repeatedly. A repeated blessing. And every time He kisses, He blesses. Sometimes we wonder how God could ever receive us at all. When we consider all that we have done and how far we have wandered, yet note how God blesses His returning child. These repeated kisses mean repeated delight. God's highest joy lies in clasping His willful sons to His breast. He has heard their lament concerning themselves. But they are home again. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. There's full restoration. What great assurances come from these kisses. This young man who has spent so long being hungry and faint and wretched, having come such a long way, he's hardly the courage to face his father. He says, "Oh, my father, the past." And the father kisses him and says, "Son, the past is forgotten. The past is hidden underneath the atoning blood. The Lord said to His servant Jeremiah, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve." Son, the past is forgiven. And he looks down upon his foiled garments and his unclean hands, and he says, "Oh, Father, the present, What a dreadful state I am in. And another kiss falls upon him and says, Son, I will see to it. You are accepted. You're precious in my sight. I will wash you. I will cleanse you. I will clothe you. Oh, but Father, what of the future? What if I should ever go astray again? And another kiss falls upon him. My son, your home will be so bright and your future so glorious that you'll never want to go away again. The Lord says to those that call upon them, they shall be my people. And I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. For the good of them and for their children after them, I will make them an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Son, the future is secure. To each and every returning one, he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give unto you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Whatever there was to trouble the Son, the Father has a kiss to put it right. And nothing puts the heart of this penitent at rest so much as the repeated kisses of his Father. Assurances of an unchanging love. The Father has received him. Kisses him much. And if ever he had any doubts, they are long gone. Because these kisses that were at first given privately, I'm sure they continued into the public arena too. That when the feast was called and the neighbors were gathered and the fatted calf was killed and there was rejoicing in the presence of that home, I'm sure the Father still kissed his Son. This my Son, which was dead, is alive again. And another kiss. Oh, what a happy reunion. And as we arrive home, perhaps like this young man, not knowing what he might find there. But what he found was beyond his wildest imaginations. He found a Father who had been longing for him and looking for him and living for him. And he's filled with love and compassion and grace and received him and loved him and forgave him, brought him into fellowship. He found restoration. He found rejoicing. There's rejoicing in heaven. When a sinner repents, the heart of the Father is made glad. And he has many kisses for those that come to him. We have seen over the last few weeks the sacrifice of the shepherd, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. Those people for whom the Savior died, the Spirit of God has sought out and caused the light of the gospel to shine upon them and expose them where they are to be found in all of their darkness. And those repentant souls that the Spirit has called, that Christ has died for, they are everlastingly received by the Father with joy. And still today, the Heavenly Father is waiting to receive those that come unto Him by faith. And the reception that this prodigal son received is still the reception that awaits us today. Promise of love and forgiveness and hope for the future. A welcome from the Father. Have we received that welcome? Have you received that welcome from God? You can, if you haven't already. But you look to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and respond to the promptings of His Spirit. And come confessing your sins to the Father, and He will receive you. And He will receive you with joy. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word to our hearts this evening.